Well, first of all, welcome to everyone. Great to have you here, especially the snowbirds that are flying back our way. Welcome back to your other home. It's great to have you here. You know, it's been an interesting stewardship series for me. It's been a very special stewardship series in this way. One of the things that happened to me a few weeks ago as I was driving to church in the morning is I happened to be listening to a particular song and a particular CD, which for me is unusual. Usually I like to just have it very quiet before a day like today. But I was listening to a particular song that actually we're going to be singing a little bit later. We sang it for the first time last year, "Your Strength is Perfect." And as I was listening to that song driving here to church, I just felt God's Spirit come over me and touching me. And thankfully, I didn't start crying till I got to the parking lot. That was good. And as I was hearing the words of that song, and even as we sang it last week and as we'll sing it later on, my heart is still tender to that song and to those words because I feel that God's Spirit is still working on me in that area about His strength being perfect in the midst of my weakness. And that morning, a few weeks ago, before I even began this stewardship series, I felt like as I was embraced by the words of that song, it was like God's Spirit was coming through the depths of my very being into all the cracks and the brokenness and the places of struggles that are me, filling them, strengthening them, loving them, and giving me hope. And as you and I have spent the past few weeks reflecting on how God is holy. And part of the gift of our heart to Him is to be holy as He is holy and to follow Him. As we reflect on the reality that our God sacrifices and He's inviting us to follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ and to offer our lives as a living sacrifice. And as recently as last week, as you and I embraced the reality about the truth that our God transforms people's lives, and that He is inviting us to be people of transformation. It has been for me a very, very special few weeks of reflecting on God's call to be faithful stewards of His treasure. And today, as I reflect with you on the area of money and wealth in the material world, my prayer for me and for you is simply this, that our relationship with Jesus Christ would continue to strengthen, and that we would value Him and treasure Him far above any worldly wealth or material thing that we could ever have, because He is worth so much more. And my prayer for you and for me is that more and more you and I might treasure Him in that way. So I begin with a story, with a message that's entitled, "Leaving a Tip." You'll understand that in just a moment. And it's not a good idea, by the way. In the days when an ice cream sundae cost a lot less money, a 10-year-old boy entered a hotel coffee shop and sat at a table. As the waitress came over to him, he asked her how much an ice cream sundae would cost. Her reply to him was 50 cents. Those were the days. He put his hand into his pocket and quickly went through the change that he had, and then he asked her, "How much would a plain dish of ice cream be?" Well, by this time, there were different people that were lining up to be seated at tables, and the waitress was becoming more busy, and she was getting frustrated with the little boy, and so she briskly replied to him, "35 cents. And he said, "You know what? I'll have the plain dish of ice cream." So the waitress went off and got the plain dish of ice cream. She was in a hurry. She just kind of threw it on the table and went on about her way, left him the check. Well, after she had served the other people that had been waiting for her, she went back to the table where the little boy had already left. He had eaten his dish of plain ice cream, and she began to cry because she noticed neatly by the dish of ice cream there was her tip of 2 nickels and 5 pennies. And she discovered in that moment that the little boy decided to eat the plain dish of ice cream so that he could have enough money to leave her a tip. that boy was raised right. He learned the right lesson. And you know, I share that story with you here today because for me it illustrates a very important truth, and that is money is a part of our relationships. Some people cringe about the idea of a preacher mentioning money in church again. I mean, it conjures up all kinds of incredible images for you, doesn't it? Oh my gosh, why did I get up this morning and come to church? He's talking about money today of all days. But you know, money is a part of our relationship with everything, and it's okay. It's nothing to get uptight about. One of the realities about our relationship with money is our relationship with ourselves. And we enjoy this relationship, don't we? I mean, going shopping, going out to eat and buying food, a house to live, a car, all kinds of different things. Hopefully, seeing maybe our bank account go up a little bit. That's part of our relationship with money because we need money in this day and age, don't we, to provide for our needs of living. And that's a normal thing that we have. Money also affects our relationship with other people, like the story I opened up with about tipping, about going out to restaurants and having something to eat and maybe leaving that person a tip after they serve you. It involves also our doctor bills or our mortgage or whatever other payments that we have. Or maybe we give some of our money to somebody that is in need or to our church or whatever. So it involves others as well. And one of the things that's brought home today for you and me in the gospel is that money is part of our relationship with God. Money is part of our relationship with God. And I want to spend a little time with you in this particular gospel passage in Luke and hear what Jesus has to share with us specifically about money in this particular text and, for that matter, worldly wealth. And I invite you to look at that text in the gospel and look at it specifically because it can be kind of confusing. I don't know about you, but as I have read the teachings of Jesus over time, as I read some of the things that his apostles share, they can sometimes be confusing. I mean, sometimes I don't understand them, to be honest with you. And I have to read through them several times before I begin to get a glimmer of a light bulb going on in my head. That's just who I am. And maybe you've had that experience as well. So this one's a little, I think, for me at least, difficult. So I want to take some time with this with you. One of the first principles that Jesus touches on in this gospel in Luke, in this teaching about money, to his disciples and to all of us, is that it's about who you are. It's not about the money. It's about who you and I are in our hearts and hearts, heart of hearts. And in this particular text, he talks about two different types of people, those who can be trusted and those who are dishonest. He says very simply that those who are trustworthy with a little are trustworthy with much, and those who are dishonest with a little are dishonest in much. And very simply, all I can say to that is, amen, right? You and I have experienced that time and time and time again, whether it is somebody who is in business, whether it is our politicians, whether it is you just fill in the blank, you and I experience this in every relationship, don't we? And whether it's talking to a friend or a neighbor or going on Angie's List, one of the things you and I do that is wise and prudent is we try to find out ahead of time, can this person be trusted? Can they be trusted enough to invite them into my house to work on my plumbing? You know, because after they're done, guess what? I'm going to have a bill that I'm going to need to pay. I just want to make sure my toilet's working. Is that asking too much? And so you and I ask this kind of question all the time, and it's a very important question. Can this person be trusted or not? And then Jesus goes on to share a couple of sentences in this gospel, and the sentences parallel one another, so you have to read this carefully. He says, those who are not trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust them with the true riches? And those who are not trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give them property of their own? What are you talking about? Well, I believe you have to take those two sentences together. And in fact, you have to take the first halves of the sentence together, of those two sentences, and then you have to take the last halves of the two sentences together. Are you confused yet? Let me break that down for you. In the first sections of each of those sentences, Jesus says, if you're not trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, and then the next sentence, if you're not trustworthy with someone else's property, that's the parallel. That's the linking there in two separate sentences. And what I believe Jesus is saying in this second point about money is that your worldly wealth is God's property. It belongs to God. In fact, think about this with me for just a moment. If you think about the scriptures and all of the stories that Jesus told about the steward that was entrusted with the master's property and the master went away for a long time, it was the whole idea of the steward being entrusted with the master's property. It was never his. It belonged to the master. And it's the same story that Jesus is telling. He is saying to his disciples, he is saying to you and me, that your worldly wealth belongs to God. It says in the Old Testament that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Guess what that means? God owns it all. He's not just talking about 1,000 hills. He's talking about everything. You know, it's interesting in our world today, in our culture today, at least from my perspective, it has gotten so materialistic, so greedy, in so many different ways. And the reality is, for a lot of people, it's about maybe how much they have in their bank account or how many things that they have. It's about materialism throughout the world. But I have something to say to us here today, and I have something to say to all of them. At the end of the day, it's all going to go back to God because it belongs to Him. You're not smiling. It's the truth. Spend all this effort and energy and, I mean, yeah, we need to have money. We need nice things. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But it all belongs to God. We're His stewards of those possessions, and we are managing another person's wealth, and that is God's wealth. And you see, that's a whole nother way to live. That's a whole nother perspective about your bank account and your house and your car and your clothes when you begin to acknowledge that they are all the Lord's and everything I have is a gift from Him. So that is the second principle Jesus teaches here, is that your worldly wealth is God's property. And then He goes on to talk about the true riches and property of your own. Spiritual gifts and treasures that God entrusts to you. And this is one of the final points that I think that Jesus brings in this teaching, that we're entrusted with the true riches, the spiritual blessings and treasures that God so much wants to give us as we demonstrate that we're trustworthy with worldly wealth. Now, what I'm not saying here is that you have to buy spiritual gifts. What I'm not saying here is that this is just another form of Scientology where you have to pay thousands of dollars to go through a course in order to achieve the next spiritual level. What I'm not saying here is that later on you have to go on the internet and order all these books in order to attain self-actualization after a personal course study of over a year. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is this. This is what I believe Jesus is saying to us. God knows us. He knows us so well. And He knows that we live in a material world. And God gets that. God gets that very well. He created it. But one of the realities also that He's inviting us to enter into is that we are also spiritual beings. We are His children. And He wants to know whether or not we are trustworthy with the true riches and graces He desires to give us. And so the way in which you and I handle our worldly wealth, the way in which you and I handle the blessings that God gives us, and they are many in that area, is a test. It's a test about whether we can be entrusted with the true riches that God desires to give us. And it's a very important test. You see, you and I thought it was all about getting as much as we could. It was all about you and I deciding at the end of the day what we would give and what we wouldn't give. At the end of the day, you and I thought it was all about us. But it's not, beloved. It's all about Him. And it's about learning to trust Him in this area of our lives fully and completely. That's why Jesus ends with one of the great one-liners at the end of the story, of this story: you cannot serve God and wealth. Period. You cannot serve God and wealth. Can we talk about that a little bit? Is there a way that we might be able to meet halfway on this? Can we make a deal? I'd like door number 3. Right? Come on, I'm just talking about what's already in your mind and in my heart as well. No. In the words of that Bob Dylan song, you got to serve somebody. And God, for God, it's like either I have you all the way or I don't have you at all. And as you and I said, in a place of great blessing, as you and I reside in one of the richest communities in the world, this is a very important message today. And the message that Jesus has for you and I is, we need to make a choice between Him and worldly wealth. I believe that, and I know that, we are some of the most blessed materially and wealthy people in the world. And I don't believe God blessed us that way to make us feel guilty. I believe God blessed us in that way that we might be a blessing. I truly believe that. But the way that that begins is not on your terms. It begins on His terms. And that means He comes first. He comes first in this. And you see, God knows us. We live in a material world, and He wants to know whether we're going to serve Him in that world first and foremost. That's why when you look at the scripture, it talks about tithes and offerings. And I've shared here before about the tithe, that's 10% of your income. That's even less than a tip, by the way. Tip these days is 18%. And that is the invitation to us as the people of God, is to be in the tithe, to be giving that tithe to the church, and offerings as well. And again, I would share with you here today, I am grateful for whatever you give to this church in terms of your heart, your time, your talent, and your treasure. There are often times where I sit back and I just watch you and I smile at what you're doing. I think about the many ways and I listen to the stories about how you're blessing other people, and I know how you're blessing me, and it brings me great joy. And so I share with us today, let us strengthen our relationship with Jesus. May He be more important than our worldly wealth. And may you and I, if we're not already at the tithe and giving offerings as well, let us press into that. Let us move toward that, that we might fully and completely receive the spiritual gifts and treasures that the Lord desires to give us fully and completely. So in closing today, as you and I consider whether we're going to have an ice cream sundae or a plain dish of ice cream, I want to ask you and I a question. Are you going to leave God a tip? Because you see, the reality is that decision will affect all your other choices. It affects whether you get an ice cream sundae or a plain dish of ice cream. It affects whether you have a smaller car or a bigger one. It affects what kind of house you'll have. You might not be able to eat out as much, and maybe you'll have less things in your closet. Maybe as you pray about the inheritance and the estate that God has blessed you with, and you want to honor God even in your passing, it may affect how much you leave to the kids. But let me say something very clearly here today that I believe from the depths of my heart. And I want to live into even more deeply as you do. God is worth it. Oh, God is worth every bit of it. And the spiritual treasures and the graces and the gifts that God wants to give to you and me and bestow upon us, oh, they are so worth it that you and I can't even begin to imagine. Beloved of God, at the end of this stewardship series of 2013, may our hearts be strengthened with the Lord. May our hearts be confirmed about the direction we are going in. May we, with smiles on our faces and joys in our hearts, set our faces toward Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Wherever we are at this moment, may we say from the depths of our heart, Lord, all that I have is a gift from you, and with all that I am, I give all of myself and all that you have blessed me with at the foot of your cross. Use me, guide me, direct me, lead me and my family into all that you have for me. That is the prayer of this moment. May his strength be perfected in our weakness.